Good morning. Ooh, all right, that's working. All right. Welcome. It's good to be with you this morning for this third Sunday of Advent. This theme of let it be. Now I would title it, let it be seeking wholeness. I really enjoyed listening to the sermon last week. I wasn't able to be here. I was at a wedding in Virginia. But it was good to listen to the sermon, and especially the story of the naval officer who found himself imprisoned in a prisoner of war camp. And just Sean talking about the way this person, I forget what the first name of the guy was, but his last name was Stockdale, and they actually named the way his approach to dealing with this tough time, the Stockdale Principle, right? It was his approach to dealing with that that made all the difference for him, and whether or not he survived and others did not. So the statement, I believe, was, do not confuse faith that you're going to prevail, that he was going to get out, that things will be restored for today, with the discipline needed to confront the brutal facts of my current reality, whatever they might be. So as he was stuck in this prison, he had to balance those things of, yes, I believe I will be out of this place, but that I can't look past the fact that this is tough. Like, this is really hard, and this wants to break me. And so you just can't ignore one and focus on the other, or else you'll end up being overwhelmed and losing hope and dying of a broken heart, I think was the words. He was determined that this experience was going to shape who he was as a person and affect the rest of his life. I found that to be just incredibly powerful. All the while not knowing how long or how horrible his situation was going to be, but wouldn't let that shake him. So I want to use that sort of as our starting point this morning. You know, we're in this place that can seem, maybe in life, that can seem so dark and foreboding, so overwhelming, that moving forward sometimes maybe can seem pointless. The pink candle, the third Sunday of Advent, is this, Sean and I were talking, he was explaining that the pink candle is sort of this turning point in Advent, where we sort of, we're in a tunnel and we can see the light at the end, and now hope is starting to grow, because we can see something coming. And so that's where we find ourselves this morning. We've all heard stories of people who are lost and they ended up being stranded. Maybe they're out hiking and they end up finding themselves walking in circles, not knowing how to get back home, how to get out of the forest or the canyon or whatever it is they're in. And then all of a sudden they find the reference point, the point that lets them know that is familiar to them. That they know once they get to that point, they can figure out how to get home. That isn't the end of their struggle, right? I mean, it could be very much off into the distance. But for them, they see this familiar thing, and they find hope in that because they know that restoration, that being able to get back home, is coming. And so they continue to strive forward for that, all because they see a way through it. Mary, like most of the Jews in her day, was struggling under this oppressive power structure, the Roman Empire. You know, in many ways, their identity, their autonomy had been stripped away and trashed by this iron-fisted force in their lives. They were God's chosen people. This just simply can't be. This was heartbreaking to them. Her thoughts in the scripture that Maddie read were centered around this idea of things finally being made right, of what wholeness might look like to her. So let's take a look at her words now, her response to this sort of commission, right, that God had given her. All right, there we go. yeah, I almost did that, you know. So, all right. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown great strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. It's from Luke 1. These verses here, this is about history. This is about a promise and a covenant that was made. This is about years and years of oppression, years and years of injustice. And all of this is about to change. Things are about to be made new. Things are about to be made right. Things are about to be made whole. But can she really see this clearly? Does she really know what this is going to look like? No. No, she can't. For many, you know, it was going to look like some figure that somehow maybe represented Moses coming in and leading the people to not a new land, but necessarily, but reclaiming their land. You know, dashing and decimating their enemies, wiping them out, allowing Israel to regain its former glory. And that's something that that we can get caught up in as well, right? We can get caught up in looking at things like injustice and just wanting to just, you know, clench your fists and go in and take over and just really deal with it in ways that maybe don't necessarily honor God. But like Mary, we can't see that clearly because we don't always know how Jesus is working. And in fact, in the other piece, in the other scripture that Maddie read, John is saying, among you stands one, John the Baptist, among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. Jesus is present among us in these sometimes overwhelming, dark times, but we don't see him standing there. We can't see Jesus as being present with us in these difficult times. We're too caught up in the brokenness, whether that is legalism, thank you, church, or being overwhelmed by the pain that we just can't see anything anymore. This week, as I was driving through town, I became just quite overwhelmed with this. I actually had this thought, man, is the whole like fabric of this country just being shredded apart? Like, is all of this going to stay like it is? Because I feel like, sometimes I just feel like things are just tearing apart at the seams. There are probably a couple reasons for that. One, it's that we're just becoming so, I just see things becoming so much more divided in our country, even in our city in some regards. And that is painful for me. And then I had to reflect on the fact that I've actually contributed to that. I got into some Facebook fighting recently. It was really fun. And, you know, like, I walked away, but I walked away from that feeling like I did not help anything with what I posted, right? In fact, I offended my family members and anyone who might take any pride in being an evangelical, and maybe pride's the wrong word, but you know, but anyone who took some strong connection to their faith with being evangelical, I offended greatly. I posted an article about evangelicals losing their souls, and while I agree with you know a lot of what was in there, like it was extremely offensive to people who. Who like this is at the core, this has really helpful been helpful for them to have that label, my father being one of them, but like this is, but we made up, you know, it's good, but still there were many others though that I think I really offended, and so like I contributed to this divide, and I had to realize that. One of the things that sort of thinking through this sermon and this idea of the brokenness of the world, it means I have to confront my own brokenness. The fact that I am so unable to be helpful at times and can be hurtful at times. I also had the backstrap, the back story of a young man that used to come to the Lighthouse, and his name was Yoshan Williams. And he... He was murdered last Sunday evening. He was dating somebody, and the ex-boyfriend rang the doorbell, and he opened the door, and he stabbed him, and he died. And you know, Yoshan was this kid, cute as all could be, very like pudgy, round face with round glasses, and just like I just remember like smiling every time I'd look at him. You know, and he talked with a little bit of a lisp, but was like funny and laid back and just took life and just loved it, you know. And it was just really shocking for me to realize that, you know, like this beautiful child has been taken away because someone couldn't handle this loss of a relationship. And for those of you who are not aware, Yoshan would be the grandchild. Lauren just showed me the article this morning, and we were connecting some dots. But Yoshan is the granddaughter of Sam and Josephine from Jerusalem Baptist. So for those of you who remember them. So, yeah, just incredibly, like, that was a shocker to me. And so, yeah, the world seems at times like it's just not... that there's nothing positive to see. I heard someone told me once that it is impossible to think negative thoughts with your chin up. And then I walked around trying it. I was like, oh my goodness, it's kind of true. like you know, when you have your head up like this and you're looking out and you can see the big picture, like there are just it's almost like positivity just like flows into your head. Because you can see the horizon, you can see the trees, you can see that into the distance. It's almost like you can see hope and potential. When you're walking around just looking at the ground and you're thinking about that one thing, like I've caught myself doing that, and then I'll like, well, let's try it out. And I look up and I'm like, oh, I do feel better. This is great. But I think there's something that really speaks to what when we get so overwhelmed with life, we get this narrowed vision. And I think that's part of it. Narrowed vision really keeps us penned in and we can't see this bigger picture. We're stuck in that tunnel and we're looking for that little bit of light to be able to give us some hope that we're going to get out. I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. And so I remember in the first movie, they're in the mines of Moria and they are sitting there and they're lost. They're in the middle of the mines. It's a 3-day journey underground. They don't know where they're going. They're stuck. And, I don't know if this is in the book. I haven't read the books. I watched the movies, but you know, they're sitting there and Gandalf goes, oh, it's this way. And he's like, oh, he remembered. He's like, no, the air doesn't smell bad that way. You know, like, so now there's hope because we know there's fresh air coming from that tunnel. How do we How do we deal with these difficult times? When we become overwhelmed, we can't see Jesus among us and what he's calling us to do. So much like Mary's heart and the heart of the Jewish people were groaning for the rebirth, the restoration of their nation, creation today likewise is groaning for restoration. We were meant to be guardians, rulers of this earth. And Jesus shows us what that rule is supposed to look like, what the love of God is supposed to look like. So with the arrival of Jesus comes his kingdom. Jesus is the fullest, most complete revelation of what God looks like. And Jesus is the fullest, most complete revelation of how we're supposed to live our lives. Scripture backs this up. This is what the kingdom looks like when we can replicate Jesus in our everyday living. So it's this Jesus coming to bringing the fullness of restoration to the world is this sort of like this two-stage deal, right? So Jesus came the first time to bring his kingdom, and we know that Jesus is returning again to bring full restoration to the world. And so we're caught in this tension, right, between the kingdom already being present but not yet fully manifested as fact. We're a broken people who follow Jesus in a broken world. So what is our calling? In Hebrews 2, we have this scripture. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. We are broken, we are overwhelmed, but we are sanctified, and Jesus is present with us. Yes, we are at times feel like lost hikers, but we do have that reference point that shows us a way through. So what does that mean? We embrace the fact that we're broken. We embrace the way of Jesus, the one who makes us whole, the one who will make all things new. What does that mean for us? Excuse me. So many of you know that the Lighthouse recently got a grant. We had an artist create a table that is sort of like a statement piece using bullet casings to make a piece of art. So I would like to offer that we are bullets, okay? We are tools, things that have been placed on this earth that can be used and mismanaged in ways that can be hurtful. Okay. Now I'm not saying every bullet is a hurtful thing, but just work with me here for a little bit. We are intended to rule. We are intended to rule with love. But used to the world's ways, we do damage. We hurt people. We in how we handle conflict and how we handle stress. We do damage to others and we do damage to ourselves. So about 6 years ago, there was someone who was killed out on 3rd Street here, right in front of the office. And so this idea for this art piece came then, this idea that can we make some sort of statement that speaks to what we're supposed to be about? It's not a memorial to anyone who has died necessarily, but it is a statement about who we as the church are supposed to be, all right? We are people, imperfect, capable of doing harm. But as we are assembled in ways, like this idea of beating our swords into plowshares, this idea that something beautiful can be made out of things that are broken, okay? And so Michelle Walkus has been putting this art piece together, and it's now fully finished. It's over in the warehouse now. We have to wait for it to warm up before we can bring it out. But it's going to go on the patio out here between the office and Kelly's house. And so she's created this 5-foot round table that is made up of bullet casings that really communicate something that is incredibly beautiful and that draws you in. And that's the idea. Like, we get drawn in by something, this thing that's beautiful, and then we get drawn in, much like we get drawn in maybe to the church, right? We get drawn into this thing that seems beautiful, and then we realize that it's filled with broken people. But it is through Jesus and through the work of the church that these broken things are made beautiful and made new, and it can then be something that provides beauty and hope to the world. We find ourselves in this really strange part of the story where, you know, like the tunnel analogy doesn't quite fit with what we're talking about here today, because we're talking about being in a tunnel and you see that light at the end and you see, oh yeah, there's hope to get out. But see, at the same time, we're also being the light that helps others get out, including those of us sitting here. Like we're looking for the light and finding hope in the light, and in that we are vessels for being able to provide hope for others. It's a humbling and beautiful story. I really liked the one verse. I couldn't quickly enough write it down that Tori was singing this morning, but you know, it was "Take my life and let it be," and then the rest of that chorus was something like, you know, "And let ourselves be an offering that testifies to your glory." And I think that really captures what we're trying to do, what we're supposed to be here, as we are trying to move through this time of yearning and longing for things to be restored. That we need to find hope in the fact that the brokenness of the world can be made new, it can be made beautiful, it can provide hope. And so how can we do that? So I have 2 baskets of bullets. We had a bunch of bullets left over from this art project. And I'd like everyone to take one. And I want you to take it home. And I want you to some way make it something beautiful, okay? If that means taking a hammer or a sledgehammer to it and just mangling it and just totally reshaping it, that's fine. If it means, you know, sanding it and smoothing it out or painting it or whatever it is, but allow this to be sort of a reminder for each of us as to what our lives are supposed to be and how our lives are to be lived. It is taking something that can do a lot of damage and can bring a lot of pain, but taking it and repurposing it for something that is beautiful, much like our lives, much like the way that we interact and relate, the decisions we make, the power we hold. How do we use that? Are we using it in ways that are beautiful and restorative, or are we using them in ways that maybe reflect our brokenness and bring harm. I'll close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we walk through this time of Advent, as we walk through this time where we are aware of how dark and broken the structures and even people around us are, and how dark and broken our own hearts can be. Allow us to find hope in knowing that you came and that you sanctify and that you call us brothers and sisters, that you are present with us and that you provide hope and a way through. Allow us to grab a hold of that and remember that and find strength and encouragement in that as we move forward in this Advent season. Thank you. Amen.